Jesus, the name that we associate most often with this child who is the birth, or who is the center of this celebration of Christmas. Of course, that's not his only name. Even as we've already recounted today, he's also called Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew way of saying God with us. Jesus is God, come in human flesh, entering our experience, showing us who God is in a way we can relate to and understand, and ultimately acting to save us from the consequences of sin and brokenness in our world. To me, it's a marvel that God would love us, people with all kinds of warts and flaws and sin and brokenness, that he would love us enough to save human beings from the consequences of evil, both the evil at work in our world and the evil at work in our own hearts. But it's even more of a marvel to me that he would do it by coming close. He doesn't save us by some edict from a faraway throne. He does it by coming near. Throughout this Advent season, we've been slowly constructing this set to my left, which has now become an elegant dinner table that just begs for a few of us to pull up a chair and have a nice meal at. Now, I recognize that the dinner table is not quite your traditional nativity scene. I realize that it's not the set associated with what Christmas looks like, but I think it can be a picture that helps point us to a significant part of what Christmas means. And if it works the way I hope, I'd love for the table to be a prompt for you in remembering that meaning in the next hours and days of Christmas. Because let's face it, there are probably very few of you who are going to celebrate Christmas by spending quality time together over a feeding trough in an animal shelter with cows and sheep milling about. You're probably not going to spend a whole lot of time hobnobbing with members of the local shepherds' union. As to wise men, or donkeys for that matter, I wouldn't want to be presumptuous, so I'll let you be the judge of how many of those you're going to be hanging out with at Christmas. On the other hand, I'm going to guess that there's a much higher percentage of us who will be spending time as part of our Christmas celebration around a meal table. In fact, I'm guessing there are a bunch of you who already have put me on the clock because you have a great feast planned and you want to make sure I stick to my time allotment so your turkey doesn't dry out. It seems to me that in the world in which we live, we are so fragmented, so hurried, so busy that it's challenging to find quality time, intentional time, to just be with people, to do life together in unhurried space. Even the dinner table, which used to be this daily gathering spot for families to connect and be all together, is not what it once was. And yet at certain times of year, Christmas being one of them, many of us manage to capture something of that experience of togetherness at the dinner table, sharing a meal together, sharing life together, being present to one another. And as I get older, it's actually this part of Christmas that becomes a more treasured part of the various festivities. When I was younger, I'll admit, the present opening was what I had the countdown set to. Now, don't get me wrong. I still like presents. You don't have to return anything that you've bought for me. But now I really look forward to sitting at the dinner table, reuniting with family, catching up on life, sharing food together, indulging in the nearness of those I love most dearly. I love when we get to pause, breathe, and be present together for a few moments. Christmas is about presence with a C. Not a T. Jesus is not God sending a telegram of well wishes or connecting with us via Skype or firing off a text message or updating his Facebook page for us. Christmas is God coming to sit at the dinner table with us, coming to break bread with people, coming to allow humanity to experience his nearness and love and compassion face to face as we never had before. It's not that God hadn't been near previously, God has always been close. But in Jesus, he came to be present to humanity in a way that eyes could truly see, hands could touch, minds could comprehend, because he was one of us, sitting at the table with us. If there was any doubt of God's relentless heart to be near humanity, Jesus is our profound example of that truth. As we reflect on that truth, my prayer for you is that the table would be a reminder of God's closeness to you at Christmas. That even as you have opportunity to sit around meal tables over the next few days and enjoy the nearness and presence of those you love most dearly, sharing food and life together, that would be a tangible reminder to you, a prompt, pointing you back to the God who in Jesus has demonstrated his heart to be close to you. Jesus was God taking his place at the table with us because of how much he loved us. It's a profound truth, one I hope becomes alive to you in a new way this year, and one I trust you'll respond to because it does ask for a response. You know, as I've considered the Christmas story again this year, the characters that have got me thinking twice are the wise men. As I think about these guys, it strikes me that in all the years of reading and rereading the Christmas story, I've never questioned their motives before. I never thought about the why. Why the journey? What was the purpose in making the trip to Bethlehem? Surely it wasn't because they knew that if they showed up there, they would be among the select few who would have little figurines of them put on display every Christmas thereafter. I mean, they couldn't have known that, could they? Why travel to Bethlehem to see this child? I know what you're thinking. The answer is obvious, right? There was a star in the sky. They followed the star. That's why they went. Really? I mean, that's why they made the long and arduous journey? A star? Now, don't get me wrong. Recognizing a miraculous sign like a bright new shiny star is certainly worth taking note of. The fact that they knew that the star signaled the birth of a new king would definitely be worth some reflection, probably even celebration. But therein lies the thing that puzzles me. The wise men knew what the star meant. They knew the facts about it without going anywhere. They're the ones who show up and tell the locals what the star means. Before they ever saddled up their camels, they knew that the star signaled the birth of a new king. They had the explanation. There was no mystery to solve. There was no code to be cracked. They figured it out. Wasn't it enough to know? Wasn't it enough to have interpreted the sign? Wasn't it sufficient that they had the explanation? What was making a trek to see the baby going to accomplish? It wasn't going to change the facts of the case. It wasn't going to get them anything. I mean, think about it. They would visit a baby who was years away from ruling anything, if it would even happen at all. They would, and if he did, he would rule a nation foreign to them. And he wouldn't know them. He wouldn't remember their visit. There was no chance to take selfies and post them on Instagram so they could go back later and prove to Jesus, hey, like we were those dudes that were coming to visit you with gifts. Remember us? No. The star told the wise men that a new king had been born. It didn't tell them they had to visit. It didn't tell them they had to put everything else on hold, saddle up their camels, and travel to Israel. The star didn't say that, and yet something constrained them to make the journey. Something compelled them to follow the sign. Something deep inside them said it wasn't enough to know the meaning of the star. It wasn't even enough to know the identity of the child. They had to behold Jesus for themselves. They had to go and attend to his presence. They had to experience him personally. Tonight, as we've retold the Christmas story, I've no idea if it's the first time or the 100th time you've heard it. But whatever the case, the truth of the matter remains that it's not enough to know the story. Christmas as a series of intellectually understood historical facts is inadequate. It's not even enough to know the secret of who this child is, to know that it's Jesus, to know that it's the Son of God. It's still not enough. You see, Christmas doesn't call us to be aware. Christmas calls us to behold, to give our attentive consideration to this Jesus, to experience his personhood and presence in our lives, to know God with us, because this Jesus did grow up. He did become a man. He did grow to become a king. though not the kind of king people were expecting. And before his time on earth came to an end, he said, I will be with you day after day after day to the very end of the age. The good news of our Christmas celebration in 2017 is that right now, in this moment, Jesus is not distant. When he came to earth as a baby, confined in space and time, in a little body at a particular location, the wise men did need to cover ground to be with him. But now he's present by his Spirit. And the only distance that exists between him and you is the distance that exists in your own soul. Jesus' nearness isn't in question. He's always been sitting at the table with you, always present to your every moment. It's the choice to be attentive to that presence, to pay attention to that nearness. That's the choice we have to make. And so my encouragement to you is that this Christmas, you would make the choice to be a modern-day wise man or wise woman. This Christmas, please don't settle for knowing the story. Don't even settle for having figured out that the baby in the manger is Jesus. Settle for nothing less than taking time to behold him for yourself. He's come to sit at the table with you. Will you acknowledge his presence? Will you wonder again at this God whose heart is to be relentlessly near you? Will you enjoy the presence of this Jesus who is always all around you? And so, God, we celebrate tonight the incredible truth of you entering our experience in Jesus to demonstrate your love, to save us from the consequences of sin and evil, and that you did it by being close. And so this Christmas, God, might we make the choice, not just to know the story, not just to know the identity of the baby. We come to behold him, to worship him, to give him our full attention. And not just for a day, not just for a season, but with our lives. We come, Jesus, to behold you tonight and forever. Amen.